This is Kelly Henderson, and you are listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. My guest today is wife of country music superstar Dierks Bentley. She's also one of my dearest friends, Cassidy Bentley. I texted Cass this week because I needed some advice personally, and I just decided to record it because it dawned on me that many women probably face these same issues when dealing with young girls and the pressure of beauty that we all face. As I've talked about many times on this podcast, I'm in a relationship with a man with two daughters, and of course, there's been a learning curve on how to navigate many things in those relationships, but one of the main things that's been hitting me hard recently is seeing them notice all of the beauty rituals that I have. I'm, of course, also in the beauty business, so these are not necessarily things I've ever thought about before as negative or being a bad influence. Yet the more I'm around these beautiful little girls, I find myself not wanting them to notice things like my hair extensions or just other things that I do to myself to feel more beautiful. Ultimately, I want them to look in the mirror and just know they are beautiful for who they are. So it's, of course, made me really start to question a lot of things about myself. Cass has openly talked about these struggles that she's had and also faced, and I wanted to get her advice on how to handle the balance of a glam life and an inner beauty life. This podcast was completely unedited, just friend to friend, and it truly helped me so much. So I hope it helps you guys too. Here's our conversation. Okay, so this whole thing happened. Kat, I'll just tell you the story about what happened and why you popped into my head with this whole thing. But so we were at my boyfriend's house, and I was watching a movie with him and his two daughters, and like we were just kind of cuddled on the couch, and you know I do their hair all the time, obviously, because that's what I do for a living.
Totally, and lucky girls.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of their new thing with me is they're like, "Ooh, can we braid your hair? Like, can we, you know, play with your hair?" Because they just think it's fun. And so the older one started to mess with my hair, and she puts her hand in my head, and she's like, "What is that?" Because I have hair extensions. And literally, I'm thinking about her. I mean, she's eight. She's probably like, oh my God, she's an alien. I knew it. You know, like this is so weird. And I just, I kind of froze. I was like, it's hair extensions. And she's like, well, what are they? Why do you have them? What do they do? And I literally did not know how to answer. And so, and it kind of made me sad too, because I was thinking to myself, what am I going to tell her? Like, I have these because they make my hair thicker and because they make me feel better about myself, when I want her to just look in the mirror and feel so beautiful exactly the way she is, you know?
Totally. So it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. It honestly was. I felt so backed into a corner too, because I've never experienced that. And I was like, oh, I don't want to even tell her, you know, I didn't want to answer.
Right.
So it
and you feel like you encounter these moments where it's like, okay, this is kind of important.
It's very important, right?
And I have like moments like that with my girls too, where I'm like kind of stunned in the moment.
Yeah.
And realizing like how I answer this question is important, you know?
Yeah.
Like I remember when Evie was like, she was little, like she was like, we were at a pool somewhere, probably on the road swimming. And I remember, like, she was in the bathroom, and, I mean, she couldn't have been, like, she was, like, seven. And she's like, I think my legs are fat, you know? And she looks at me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, and it was one of those moments where I just, like, froze in my mind, because, of course, I'm like, oh my gosh, her, you know, her body image and her.
Yeah.
And then, but at the same time, like, I had to really, like, stop and read the moment, you know, and I was like, she's testing me right now, you know?
How do you mean?
She's throwing out this word, fat, to see what I say and what my reaction is, you know? And if I overreact and, oh, no, what are you talking about? No, you're not, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, but, you know, it's just so difficult. And I honestly don't even remember what I said. But I think I said, like, well, I don't see that, you know, and I just actually kind of brushed it off. I didn't go there with her because I felt like it was a little bit of a test, and she maybe heard that word.
Yeah.
Well, and was kind of applying it to herself rather than like really struggling with her body
image. Like, she was really far even too knowing. Young
and like a tiny little girl.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely have those moments. And I mean, from the very beginning, like when I found out I was going to have girls, just knowing that I was going to have daughters was a trigger for me, you know, because I feel like I've always known, like I've always dreaded this moment where they turn on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, this period in their life. Like, I remember reading this book called, it's an old book called Reviving Ophelia.
Okay.
And it's about what happens to like adolescent girls. And I mean, I didn't even have daughters. I don't know why I was reading this, just interest in psychology or whatever, probably for myself.
Yeah.
But like that something happens where girls, you see them on the playground and they're running wild and they're dirty and, you know, they're just like, they're fully like authentic selves. And they, something happens where they go from being like the subject of their own life to being the object of like culture's gaze, you know,
made me sick at
and
my
other
stomach.
People's gaze.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's this loss of that like freedom and authenticity. I mean, there doesn't have to be, but it does happen, you know, and I think part of that is just developmental. Do you know what I mean? Like, yes, you have to. That is part of growing up, is understanding how you are perceived in the world. But I mean, that book was like old. So now I'm imagining like social media mm-hmm. and things like that, that I'm thinking that happens a lot earlier. It must,
right.
You know?
Well, I mean, think about, Evie was 7 in the story you're describing, and the fact that she even knew the word fat. I think that's what I've started to even think about, is what are we teaching them at such a young age, or how is this even on their radar, you know? And I don't want to participate in that.
Right. But yet, like, we all are, because like,
of course,
this is our culture,
right?
Like, so yeah, I also felt like, you know, like thinking about teaching them to love themselves and to mm-hmm. like accept themselves, like one of the biggest obstacles is like my own conditioning,
right?
And my own sense that like I've, you know, kind of felt like I've been like poisoned a little bit, you know, in that I'm just this idea of like beauty and just generally never having to be better, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or not being quite good enough, or it's just a vague, do you know what I'm talking about?
That totally,
sense
that
of
insecurity
like,
that
enough.
We all have. Yes,
exactly. And so it's like, I have that poisoning. And so, you know, this is the world we live in, mm-hmm. Where people are, this is how we look. And these are the beauty rituals we all participate. And there is this conditioning that's happening to them every single day from like no one more than the people they're intimate with. Like,
right.
So for me, I've been trying to like balance that out. Like, even though I know I'm kind of poisoned, I also fight against that. There's a different voice in my head, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I examine it. And I mean, with the girls, I try and talk to them about it. And I will say, like, the world is going to try and make you feel like you're not enough, that you have to look this way or that way. And you have to protect yourself. And like, I'll even say it, like, you got to get your boxing mm-hmm. gloves on, mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't mean that you can't have fun with makeup, you know, I mean, there's the energy that you approach things with, you know, like you have fun with beauty, right?
Well, it's my business.
It's your job.
This is why I'm so confused.
But you do it because you enjoy it.
True. Like, yes.
And I think there's the energy. Like, I think there's so much with kids to the energy, like, we approach these things with, you know?
Okay.
If you have the energy that, like, without your hair extensions, mm-hmm. you just feel like complete shit. Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
I don't think that's true.
Well, I know, but I've gotten kind of attached to them, to be honest.
Yeah, that's, I know.
You know, it's like, it's sort of like we were, I mean, I don't have eyelash extensions right now because of coronavirus, and you and I have talked about the lash extensions before, but like,
yeah.
You start to feel naked without them once you've had them. And so then it's like, and that was another thing they noticed about me, is like, they'd said to their dad when we first started, you know, integrating our lives together, they were like, she's so pretty, she has the longest lashes.
Right. Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
I think about.
Well, I think it's like you have to just own your choices, and like I honestly feel like so much of this is about like making sure we're in alignment with ourselves. You know what I mean? And that you feel good and are on your path, and you're feeling whole, and like they will sense that whether you have eyelash extensions on or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like. I think it has more to do with that than like, you know, just making sure you're living true to yourself. Like, they will see that.
Well, and it's interesting.
Maybe you feel like you need to let your, like, extensions go for a little bit. Like,
Cass. No, okay. I mean, look,
I'll give you another personal example for me. This is something, a bridge I haven't crossed, okay? I have implants.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that's a pretty hardcore,
like, body, like, image thing.
Violent.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, I've come on the cusp of talking to them about it because Jordan, who's like tiny, mm-hmm. you know, is like, am I going to, you know, have boobs like you? And
God.
The girl.
Yeah. With the right doctor,
but
you will.
I feel like when we come to it, I just want to be really open with them.
I think you should.
You know, when we have a super open dialogue. And maybe that's the best we can do, you know, is just to tell them, like, yeah, I do feel I did this and this is why, but I still have ambivalence about it, you know,
or
I do feel better. I like the way I look when, you know, I wear these lashes, but they're expensive, you know, and I have to pay money. So sometimes that part I don't like, and just calling these questions, like, to the surface. Do you know what I mean?
And that's actually
letting
huge.
The questions and, like, the struggle of it that, like, live in the light mm-hmm. rather than just, I don't know, I think discussion around all this stuff is important because I think when the time comes with the implants, I'll be able to be honest and be like, I have really mixed feelings about it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, even to your own battle, maybe, because that's sort of what I think what it's really, if I'm being really honest, what it's made me do is start to ask myself why I'm doing these things. You know, it's become, like, it's become such a motorized thing that I do. Like, I go to the gym, I get eyelash extensions, I go to the hairstylist, I go get my Botox. It's just like all of these things. And truthfully, this pandemic has been one of the major wake-up calls for me for that because, one, financially, I've been like, wow, I have a lot more money because I'm not doing these things right now. You know, it's so expensive, like you said. But also, like, I didn't look terrible. I missed my Botox, I'm not going to lie. But, like, I let the lash extensions go for now. And a lot of what I feel is, like, either being on TV or, like, putting myself out there on Instagram, it is this pressure that it's, like, you're comparing yourself to everyone else and you want to look the best you possibly can. But why? Like, what's not healed inside of me that's, like, not able to look at myself through a different lens maybe and be like, but you're beautiful the other way too, you know? Like, it's just making me start to ask myself these questions, I guess.
Yeah. And there's, like, a lot of freedom in that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in that Instagram, like, world, like, that's the game you're playing.
Totally.
You know what I mean? That is the, like, the sport of it, you know, but, like, the same, the way you're saying the pandemic. And I think a lot of people feel this way of, like giving people space and freedom from their just they're just, like, knee jerk behaviors and, like, habits and patterns. Like, I think the kids offer us that same fresh lens.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, there could be an opportunity for there is a freedom in being like, oh, maybe I should rethink that. Looking through it their eyes,
right.
Not that you never do it again, but you're able to, like, detach, like, even a little bit from it.
Right.
Which is, like, healing for us, you know?
Right. Like, it doesn't make or break you as much when you start to take a step back from it. But I thought about you too, because, I mean, obviously you're married to Dirks, and so you have to go to these events that are on TV, like award shows. You're on red carpets all the time. And, like, that's the same kind of pressure that we talk about, like, on Instagram and all that stuff. And so how do you balance that? Like, how, because obviously when you're in the public eye in any sort of way, having your picture taken, you want to look your best. So how do you balance that with, like, then going home to your children and being a mom?
Right. Well, I feel like for me, it's, you know how you've been with me on, like, a lot of those things, and you know, those things are, like, really hard for me.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is, like, just in that world and Dirks and, like, the glam thing, I've never really felt like it's that same feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just,
like, do you not feel like yourself fully?
I don't feel like myself, and I just feel like, oh, that's just I don't look good. I don't look good.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pose. I don't know how to, like, I just, and so it's sort of a little bit of, like, a I mean, I hate to say this because I wish it was different, you know?
Yeah.
It ends up being like kind of, and so I, for me, it's almost more like my challenge is to show the girls this can be fun, like be empowered and like get dressed up every once in a while and go like,
go to a fancy
like
event.
Have a great time and don't be hard on yourself and don't like, so, and that's been my challenge. So it's like kind of the reverse in a way, because it is hard for me to like see myself in a, not a positive way, but it's just, you know how it is. I just feel a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure.
In those circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so I would hope and wish for them that they could like have more fun with it.
Yeah.
Than I have.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and especially if it takes away, it's like, it's not the every day. You just have like a normal life. And then it's like, and then you go do this fun activity. That's a good way to look at it. I hadn't thought about
that. Yeah, like it's like the idea of another person who's like, in terms of like the kids and stuff, who's been like, and honestly just in life that I love, is this person called Dr. Shefali. Her that's her first name. Her last name is like, she never really uses it, but she wrote this book called The Conscious Parent.
Okay.
And it's really good, but she also does other stuff just about life. But it's like, you play with these things. You know what I mean? You know, you're entering in culture, you know, like these, like the award shows or the glam or the Instagram, but you're like aware of your separation from it. You know what I mean? So you're like so enslaved to it, if that makes sense. It's like,
it does make sense.
Just complete being able to separate yourself from it. We're not going to like, I mean, what are we going to do? Like, stop doing beauty stuff? Am I not going to? I mean, another thing for me is aging. Like, aging I'm aging. Hard. I'm in my mid-40s.
Right.
And I have, like, one of the moments, sort of like with Evie, but, like, this is more recent, was, I probably told you this because it was, in some ways it was really funny. But Jordan started crying in the car. She sort of started sobbing. Oh, and she wouldn't tell me why.
Yeah.
And she finally, I was, like, begging her to tell me what is wrong. And she told me this is because I look old and
so
I'm
harsh.
Getting old. And it was like the ego.
Of course.
You know, I'm doing quite a bit to try not to have someone say that to me. Which one is when I know she's being completely truthful.
Of course she is. They don't have a filter.
But like, here I am in this moment where it's like, how am I going to react to this idea of old?
What did you
or
say?
Looking old. I was like, okay, you know, I said, all right, like what specifically is like, is it about me? Like that's making you feel like I look old. And she's like, your face.
Oh my God. It's just like bomb after bomb.
And I think I was like, you know, I'm getting older. Like, okay, I just didn't, I didn't want to be like offended or show it. You
right.
know, I mean,
how much did you think about it the days following after though?
I was just like,
I would have been in the mirror, like calling my doctor.
And I really feel like they're helping me. Like, and I think honestly, all this stuff, like it does, in some ways, weird ways, it gets easier. Like as I get older, I'm just,
really?
You know, I feel, I mean, yeah, it's scary and you're like, ugh, and I'm not like, not gonna, but you know, it's like, yeah, I am, I guess I am. And I'm, it's,
you
got
to
know.
Show
it's,
how you can gracefully
okay.
do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I think that is a huge like role for me right now. It's how
right.
I embrace that. And how they witness that.
Well, it's sort of like you said, you know, you can't just stop these beauty routines. And I'll tell you the truth. Like when I first like reached out to you about just even like, I need help with this. Like I literally in my head was like, I have to stop Botox. I need to get rid of the lashes. I got to get rid of the extensions. Like I go so black and white with it. And
okay. Kelly, baby what? Steps. Baby
I know,
steps.
But this is how I do life. I'm very like, wait, what? No, I got to stop. And then I'm like, wait, but then I'll feel bad. Like I need to either like, you know, ease into it, like you're saying, or just like kind of embrace and maybe be honest about some of the things. And then some of them be honest about how
I think
feel.
It's about really looking for you. Like what you said, like,
yeah,
what are you actually questioning and going, I don't actually really need to do this. I'm just this knee jerk.
Yeah.
And that may not be everything. You're like, no, I really love this. And just that like little shifts.
Oh my God. Well, when I got Botox after 3 months of isolation, I felt better. Like I truly, I just felt like I was looking tired. And so like, I can't say that it didn't make me just feel a little bit better about waking up every morning. And I know, you know, that's just one of the things I'm not ready to let go of
completely,
for sure.
Completely. And that's like why millions and millions of people do it. Right. And I don't think this is about right or wrong. I really don't. But I think it's about constantly just reflecting. That's what the kids help us do on, like, why am I doing this? You know?
Yeah.
What am I getting out of this? Is this good for me? Do I really need this? All of these. And that's what I mean when I'm like trying to bring up the questions with my kids. So they like learn that muscle, you know?
Right.
Of asking the questions, of having like the critical voice when culture and everything saying, or even their mom is saying, you got to do this. You got to do this. You need to do this. You know, like, I think I mentioned to you, like, one of my like personal triggers from like growing up is like, I have really thick, dark hair, you know?
Yeah.
Like I have a lot, like quite a bit of hair. Like this is like, I grew up before laser, which is life changing, you know? But like, you know, unibrow, like eyebrows. Like I am entering, you know, like almost 12-year-old with like the exact same hair that I have, which now I'm actually like thankful for, you know.
Of course.
But like people making comments to her and like I, you know, dealing with like waxing or tweezing or, you know what I mean?
Like her eyebrows and stuff. Yeah.
Right. And it's and also having to like do something painful to
make it go away. Yeah.
And I felt myself going, I think you should just wax. You know, she's getting comments hurt her feelings. But I'm pushing her in that direction. And meanwhile, Jordan's going, I love her unibrow. Leave her alone. And she's all like pumping her fist, like, you know, she's fine the way she is. But I did push it and I don't know whether, and we did it and it hurt, you know, and so I'm like, I'm pushing her in this beauty, this direction of like cultural beauty norms.
Beauty is pain kind of mindset.
While also wanting her to fight against them. So it's like a completely, there is so much hypocrisy.
Yeah.
In all of it, but.
Well, and it's interesting that that was something that is a trigger for you from your childhood, too. And so it's like, I mean, in some ways, it's making you face that again, too. But I wonder if there's other things that you're like, oh, that's not a big deal because it wasn't something that you struggled with. You know, like I'm having to ask myself that stuff, too. And like my boyfriend is so natural and he, of course, is so protective of his little girls in that capacity.
Right.
Yeah. And so like, it's like,
and I know your boyfriend's kids, you know, and they're in that like beautiful,
oh, they're
wild
so
phase.
Beautiful. Oh yeah.
Like that. And that complete in that like embodiment of just like,
they don't
wild
need anything.
Little girl.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But I think what the way that like the other like component of this is like what you said, like the male figure in their life, how do they talk about women? How do they like, what are their expectations? What do they witness? You know what I mean? In terms of,
well, that's
how
been an
they talk about beauty. And,
of course. But like, he likes me in tight jeans, you know, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's interesting I've asked him this too lately. Cause it's like, he would probably say, you know, he likes me natural too, but like, actually I think he likes me natural better, but like, when I'm done up, of course he's like, you're beautiful. And you know, the clothes I'm wearing are sometimes tight or something. And so I'm like, you have to think about like what you think about me is like what someone's going to think about your daughters one day. And like, what do you like, those messages are extremely important. And he literally said the other day, he's like, it is interesting because I just think of it totally differently. He's like, I think of you as one thing and them as another, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but how do you think my dad thinks about me? Like, it's just an interesting thing to think about. You know, I'm sure Dirks loves you on the red carpet all done up and all this stuff, but he wants his little girls just running around wild and free.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I think same as your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Dirk's also, I mean, I feel lucky in that he does it. Like, there's not, I don't feel that pressure.
Right. Like, he loves you now.
I think I would crumble.
Oh, me too. I couldn't keep
like,
up.
Like, in my house, if I felt that pressure.
Me too.
To the,
like, to have my nails done all the time or something.
I know. I think I couldn't we talk about it. That. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, like, if there is, like, a freedom here, and hopefully the girls feel that. But, yeah. I mean, one of my big fears is, like, the social media thing, you know,
because sure.
I don't participate in it very much, and they're already, like, watching all this TikTok stuff, mm-hmm. you know? I'm literally straddling a world where they're like making like clay gnomes and are so pumped about it. And then on the other hand, they're like completely enamored with TikTok. And I don't even know what they're watching, but I think there's a lot of adult sort of.
Yeah. Like dances and the way and, people
you know,
dress.
I mean, even my son knows like duck face. Knox can like just go. Just all of it. You know, it's.
And none of us grew up that way. So I think it's such a hard thing to navigate because, I as an adult really struggle sometimes with the comparison and like needing to get the likes and all of these things. And I'm 37 yeah. years old. Like,
right.
The fact,
with like a fully developed brain,
completely,
which is like huge, you know, that doesn't even yes. happen until you're like 25.
Right.
You know? Like, I just think it could, it worries me a lot. And I'm not trying to be like that person,
yeah.
you know, because I know there's like positives to it as well, but I'm the same. Like, it's part of why I don't do it because it like makes me feel weird and vaguely bad sometimes, you know,
right.
in my experiences with it. But for their little brains, you know, I don't know. I just don't. The likes. I mean, we just saw, Evie showed us one of her friends' Instagram. I mean, again, they're only like 11.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like curated. It was almost like professional looking and
like a blogger.
We were just like, yeah, yeah.
It's a like little, a curated
like,
feed.
The perfection. Mm-hmm. I mean, George was like, why does everything have to be so perfect?
Yeah.
But this is the world we live in. So I guess we just have to like, give them just as long as they have the tools to like challenge
yeah.
it, even if they're participating in it, you know,
well,
to even just
that.
Be able to go, you know what, this is actually bullshit.
Yes. I was going to say even that conversation of why does everything have to be so perfect? Like we know that's not real life. And to,
right.
like my parents, I will say, from a pretty early age, always taught me like the comparing the insides and outsides. So although
yeah.
I still do it, I'll catch myself quicker maybe than some other people and go, I know that's not really true for them.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like I can go deep into it for a while and then I can kind of talk myself out of it. Like we know
right.
reality. Their reality probably looks a lot like my reality and we just all make it look a certain way on social media.
Right.
And
right.
Like,
exactly.
For body image and beauty and all of it.
Completely. And it's like those conversations like with the girls
mm-hmm.
help develop that inner conversation, you know,
yeah,
and that inner dialogue for later.
Yeah. I loved what you said about the critical voice versus like the real voice and knowing, starting to decipher between that within your own brain.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like even like with the hair, like the mm-hmm. shaving of the legs and the mm-hmm. waxing and it's like, well, why is hair so bad on women?
Right.
Like, it's like not a big deal on men. I mean, we had that conversation and I'm like, it's bullshit. I probably said that.
Yeah.
Like, guys, like bullshit alert, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't mean like you're going to go around and like never do your eyebrows. Like you most likely are.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not like, let's at least examine it, you know?
Okay.
And I have like a cousin who is more like, I mean, she's like actually this is like creative, beautiful actress, but she's a girl, but she like never shaved her arms.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know,
yeah.
cause I like to point to that and be like, she, you know, she's a lot younger than me, but it's like, look, she's making a different choice. Like she made a choice for her.
Right. Like find
you know?
Your
and
own
identity.
I think
there's identity. More examples of that in culture.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that like maybe they're entering a time where there's more individuality and mm-hmm. range Are you feeling that, like, being in this world? Like,
I do feel, honestly, in 2020, with all of us kind of going through this collective whatever this is together, yeah, it's made everybody have to stop. And so I don't really know yet what's going to completely stick, but I do feel that there's been some shifts, and I know my mindset and a lot of my friends' mindsets just about what's actually important, what, like, yeah, moving forward we actually want to take with us and what we want to leave behind. And I think some of those messages are part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm, for sure. So, and like change is so much slower than we, yeah, want it to be.
Yeah.
But you can, like, you can kind of, you get glimpses of it, uh-huh, you know?
I think so. I mean, and even with all of the just equality for everyone, like, those conversations happening, they're happening on such a bigger scale than I think they ever have. And so, I don't know. I definitely know that we've had to have those conversations too. And, like, that's great to me to start talking about that at such a young age with kids, you know, so that it's just a part of their natural life versus, yeah, what we grew up with. So,
yeah, for sure.
Do you have any other, like, resources that you go to when you're, I don't know, trying to figure out how to navigate all this stuff?
I would just say that book I mentioned, which is kind of old, but, uh-huh, Reviving Ophelia, but the newer, like, teenage girl Bible, is called Untangled.
Okay.
And it's like 7 transitions into adulthood, and she's amazing. Her name's Lisa Damour.
Okay.
It's Damour. And then I link, like, Dr. Shefali has been, like, the conscious parent. I mean, she really just is, like, this philosophy. Your kids are here to, like, grow you up.
It's so, I mean, I so could see that. And they're your ultimate teachers. Yes.
And if you use that as your guide, like, anything that comes up with the kids, like, what is this about me, you know, looking to heal? And it's a total, like, paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And so she's been really, had a huge effect on the way I've, like, approached parenting, or tried to.
Mm-hmm. You need to look into that one.
Tried to,
right? On your good days.
Doing the best we can over here.
Yeah, I think we all are. Oh, well, this was very helpful to me. Thank you for talking to me about it.
I'm just missing you, and you love you.
I love you too.
Let's talk soon.
Okay. Hang in there.
Okay.
Bye.